This is Not the Average Real Estate Podcast by Not Your Average Real Estate Investor. Dipna Boholt used real estate investing strategies to completely replace the income from her accountancy practice with passive income in just 18 months and has since taught thousands of others to do the same. Welcome to the I Love Real Estate Podcast.
Hi guys, Dipna here, founder of the I Love Real Estate community. Let me ask you a question. Are you stuck in a job that you're not that keen on and doing the 9 to 5 and have got really big credit card bills you just don't seem to be able to pay off or get rid of? Or are you in a situation where your job takes you away from home a lot? You know, are you traveling away? Are you missing your family? Are you doing any of those things? Are you living paycheck to paycheck? Because that's the situation of a gentleman I'm going to introduce you to very shortly. His name's Henry, and he was in a corporate job, you know, probably a reasonably good job compared to, you know, a lot of other jobs around there. But he had credit cards. He had $70,000 owing on credit cards, and he just couldn't seem to move them. They never seemed to get paid down, and he was just living paycheck to paycheck. And he was away 220 nights away from home. It was ridiculous. Well, that was Henry's situation. And he knew something had to change. Henry's a funny guy. He's so jovial. He's got such a bubbly personality. And he recognized that his life just couldn't go on the way it was. So what did he do? He reached out to get some education. Fortunately, he found I Love Real Estate, which is a lot to do with real estate, but it's also a lot to do with getting to financial positions right across the board, not just in real estate, where you can move forward, where you can have the kind of life that you want, where you can set some goals and achieve those goals. You can work strategically to a plan. And that's what Henry did. With a very short space of time, he was able to pay off the credit card debts for starters, and then be able to put himself in a position where he became a full-time property investor, where he no longer has to work the 9 to 5. You know, he's absolutely loving life, and he's making really good money in the process. So have a listen to his story. This I'm going to cut across to a live event that I recorded where I had students come on stage. We had about 800 people in the room, and we shared their stories, and Henry was one of those stories. So have a listen to Henry's story, because I think it's a story that is very common of a lot of people who are stuck in jobs that They get in the daily grind. It's not necessarily they hate the job. It's just that they don't seem to be able to get ahead. And for them, you know, it's something that has been able to change his life forever. And his life is very, very different to the life he had pre-I Love Real Estate. So have a listen. I'll see you on the other side of the recording and we'll have a chat then. Bye now. So we're all good. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
I joined the community in about 2016, towards the end of 2016, so about 2 years and a bit there now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of a bit of an interesting story how I finally got to be here, and never did I think I was going to be in this scenario. So I registered for a one-day event, did not show up, and one of those nasty guys that registered and didn't show up. But because I was in the mailing list, eventually I got sort of second chance, do a webinar. And I thought, well, webinar, you know, low commitment enough, I'll do that one. And I listened to everything you had to say, learned a lot in that sort of 2 hours.
And then you wish you'd gone to the actual one day, don't you?
I did, but I still thought it was too good to be true. So I put it to one side, said, no, too good to be true. Can't be true, right? So put it to one side and let it run for another couple months. Mm-hmm. And eventually I bump into some of my friends who were actually Ultimate students. And can't even remember how we got to talk about it, but I say, like, yeah, that thing is all too good to be true, right? Sure it is. I said, no, man, it's actually true. That's how everything started for us.
Yeah.
And I kind of, well, maybe I should go and, you know, give these knowledge source guys a call. Gave them a call, you know, registered for Ultimate, and I guess everything else is history. So.
Okay. So pre I Love Real Estate, you had some pretty decent credit card debt.
I did. Not proud of it. Well, I guess I'm proud of it now, as I've paid it off. But it's one of those things we're talking about before, and some of the people in this stage were talking before about hiding problems. I was one of those guys. So you look at me from the outside, and I look successful. I was a senior manager in the corporate world. That picture you see on the screen, it's kind of funny, is I remember exactly how I felt the moment that that picture was taken. And if you look at it in detail, it looks like I'm smiling, but I'm not quite smiling. And that's exactly...
You look like Adam Sandler.
Oh. Well, that's better than what I think I look, so thank you for that.
That's a compliment.
I felt a slave of where I was. So $70,000 in credit card debt. Mick was asking me yesterday, how did I get there? And I couldn't tell you, right? It's one of those scenes where, you know, you're doing well. I'm getting a pay rise every year. I'm getting a small bonus every year. You know, get that much pay rise and somehow get that much more expenses, right? So it all got kind of very, very quickly eaten away. And by the time I'm here, I'm pretty much a slave of my situation. So I hate my job. I'm spending 220 nights away from home every year, and for those of you who are not mathematically inclined, that's every week of the year, Monday to Friday, and then some weekends if I'm traveling overseas or interstate. By this stage, I have twin boys, 3 and a bit year old, and they're starting to ask me questions that make me think I'm more of a visitor than living in my house. So, you know, I leave on a Sunday, I say, oh, yeah, thank you, bye, Daddy. Hope you come back, visit us again. And I'm like, wow, okay, something is happening here, right? So really, really not a good place. But at the same time, I don't know what to do, right? I can quit my job, can go and get something that pays less. Because I have this credit card debt in, you know, I'm living paycheck to paycheck, no savings, no nothing. I'm renting, I don't have an asset or a house or nothing. I'm literally below water.
Wow. Even in the corporate job. So what happened after boot camp? Obviously, boot camp filled your head with a whole lot of ideas.
Yeah, probably too many ideas, actually. So because I didn't know what I wanted to do, and I'm an engineer by trade, so I'm kind of one of those analytical guys, even though once I know what I want to do, I take action fairly quickly. But once I'm not sure, then I say, oh, but we better check. And better check turns into months of better check, right?
Mm. So analysis paralysis.
That's pretty much, right? Yeah. So, yeah, we could do renovations, or we could do this other thing, or we could do splitters, or we could do, you know, there were 1,000 things, and somehow I wanted to do all the 1,000 things at the same time. So I ended up doing what I could do first. So it makes sense to say, well, let's sort out our house first, right? So let's do a PPR deal. I managed to secure a block of land in the southeast of Melbourne, significantly under market value, to the point where I could actually make it work. At this stage, I'm also sort of liquidating my negative gear property. It's like, well, okay, well, you know, kill the dog, right? So I ended up with a tiny little bit of cash out of that, enough to do the deposit on that block of land. So settled on it first. So I literally own a block of land and nothing else. But there was enough equity in that once it settled, I could kind of refinance it to finance the construction of the house that went on top of it without, you know, putting more money. I did not have any more money anyway. So
construction on that gave you another $141,000. So that's pretty good. You know, you researched well in that you got a land undervalue. Construction made you some more money, so we now got $140,000 to move forward.
That's right.
And have we got credit card debt at this stage, or you pay that off?
No, we still have a significant amount of credit card debt. We're starting to move in the right direction, but really slowly.
Okay.
Because obviously it's my home, can't quite liquidate it and go and pay the credit card debt.
So what's the next one?
So then I thought, well, you know, did this simple thing, you know, bought a block of land, put a house on it, ended up with $140,000. It worked. I kind of not as afraid of doing that as I was of some of the other stuff. So I went, well, how about we do it again? Let's go talk to the same developer again, who's doing a different state, not too far from where I originally bought. And let's try to negotiate, you know, if we can kind of go again. So same story, bought a second block of land, also under market value, significantly under market value. This time with a much longer settlement and a tiny little deposit, about 5%. So I went, well, you know, I'm going to ride on this one, ride a little bit of the growth, which I know we're not big fans on, but, mm-hmm. you know, again, it's a relatively low risk. And then, yeah, by the time it sells, it's about to sell that block of land. That block of land is selling for about 10% more of the value I'm quoting there. So, you know, if I really wanted to liquidate it, I could liquidate it today for that much money.
All right. So cash flow profit.
Yeah, and then I started getting creative, which is not necessarily a good thing, but in this case it was. So, well, all these learnings that I've done mm-hmm. from Dina and from the community, they're awesome, right? This stuff should be brilliant. I wonder if this stuff will work anywhere in the world. So you guys can take my accent. I wasn't born in Australia. I was born in the other side of the world. My mom's side of the family live in the United States, in Florida. So it's a market I know well, a market I know. You know, a lot of people have a lot of connections. You know, my brother's there, sister-in-law, mom, et cetera, et cetera. So in one of those trips, I went visit them. I went, well, I'm going to take a week aside. I'm going to check the property thing here. So ended up doing a vendor finance deal, which in the United States is a little bit more common than here, particularly at the time that I bought kind of this property. Well, which basically means the loan on the property is carried by the vendor. So I basically gave him a deposit to take over both the property and the loan, but the serviceability is still under his name, not under my name. Again, relatively simple deal to execute if you know what you're doing and if you have the connections, which is why mm-hmm. Dimna has made available teams in the United States and the mm-hmm. like to be able to do it.
And you've been able to pick up a cash flow out of that as well, because it's $7,000 positive cash flow. I assume that's US
absolutely.
Dollars, is it?
No, that's at 0.70 or whatever it was when we did this in Australian
okay.
dollars. So.
Okay, very good. So, worked once, let's do it again.
Yeah, same kind of story as the other thing. Say, well, you know, rinse and repeat. But let's try to make it a little bit more complicated and more fun this time. So, took the family to Walt Disney World in Florida.
Beautiful.
And we stayed in this house that you see in the picture there. And again, because we were there, my brother and my sister-in-law start to get interested in property and say, oh, you know, you look like you're an entirely different person now. You're kind of turning the tide. So, and most of you will probably feel familiar with this. You can't stop talking about properties after you kind of clicks, right? So I said, oh, yeah, sure, I'll tell you a story. It is what I'm doing, and it is what it is. And we talk about the other deal. Said, like, well, guess what? The house next door, the apartment next door, they're actually selling. You think it will work? So we basically spend, I don't know, a weekend or whatever doing the numbers. Turning my feasibility spreadsheet into kind of an American version of it, did the numbers, and turns out it kind of worked. But I went, well, it won't work for me because if I go and get a loan at the bank, it's going to be a much higher rate. I said, well, how about we do it together? Like, we carry the loan. So now my brother's an American citizen, which means that he can get a loan that I only can dream of. So this house has a 30-year fixed interest, 2% loan on it. So that means the bank, you know, the bank can't call you and say, we're raising your interest rate. It's like, it's locked in for 30 years at 2%. Unless you refinance, which obviously you will do if, you know, the interest moved the other way, which I don't think they can get much lower than this.
I think you're probably better off getting a second mortgage on that one rather than refinancing that one.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think this one will... We'll go anywhere until we pay it. And again, some marginal cash flow there, which is also helping us in the right direction. So
now you're back in Australia. You're actually going to do some manufactured growth?
Yeah, now I'm back and I'm thinking, well, this property stuff, I'm really, really enjoying it. And I see a path from where I am or where I was in my corporate job to a future in property long term.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, yeah, sure, you know, passive cash flow is the end game of all of this. But not having any money to my name. And at this stage, I'm, you know, a little bit of pockets here and there, but I'm still probably, I don't know, break even or close to zero. I need some chunk deals. So I wanted to do, you know, some chunk deals, but I also wanted to learn something that will give me a kind of an active path into property long term. So I decided to become a builder.
Right,
so,
as you do.
And I was lucky enough to become a partner in a building company with my amazing business partner, who is also part of this community. He's here somewhere, I think, over there. And he basically taught me everything I needed to know about building, and together we learned a lot about development. So I was at the, I guess, just before this deal, I'm like, well, I'm ready. You know, I can build. We build for clients, we build for other people. We've done it before. We've done it in some of, you know, his projects. I know enough about development to be able to put the deal together. I do my feasibility. The numbers stack up. I now need to walk into this real estate agent, give them the only 50 grand I have, and buy this deal, not knowing, I can't settle on it. Like, I don't have money to settle. My serviceability is obviously pretty limited at this stage. But I'm pretty sure in the community there'll be a joint venture partner that, you know, I think this deal kind of has enough legs. And probably by then I've had enough conversations with enough people that tell me, yeah, sure, you know, I'll, you know, there's either interest or, listen, I can't do it, it's not the right time for me, but other people would. So I decided to take a gamble, negotiated some pretty aggressive terms on it. So 12-month settlement, 5% deposit, 3.5-week due diligence, a few other things around the property. So I decided to take the plunge, scared to death, probably more scared than I am now, actually, to go and make the deal happen. And then from then on, everything started clicking into place. So like I said, you know, one of the great things we have here is, you know, there's 800 of you here. Most of my partners on all of these deals are here, actually, or have come out of here. Not only those that, you know, kind of put money with me into deals, but also the ones that work with me into deals, or the ones that have helped me clarify these deals and shape them and move them forward. So
you got some JV partners on this one coming in at 350 profit.
Yeah, that's right. That's my share of that.
That's
of
your
that profit.
Share of the profit. Okay, so that really kind of sets you up for another one then.
It did. So, and it also gave me the confidence. Like, now I've done one. Now I know it works. Now I know I can get a joint venture partner, mm-hmm. if the deal is good enough. Mm-hmm. And now I know how I'm going to execute and how we're going to build and how we're going to do anything else. And in the interim, one of those sort of serendipitous thing, again, you know, can't stop talking about property to people, and particularly people who are interested in property. And I bump into this person and say, well, listen, you're a builder, and I have this guy in Singapore who really wants to build 2 townhouses. And I'm like, yeah, sure. Well, let's have a conversation. Get on the phone with the guy, and the guy said, like, yeah, I want to build 2 townhouses. I said, well, do you have a permit, or, you know, you have plans, or where you're at? I said, no, all I have is the block of land with an old crappy house in it. So, well, you know, there's a process you need to go through, and DAs, or planning permits, as we call them in Victoria, and all this other stuff. I said, listen, I live in Singapore. I don't actually have time or money or, to be honest, interest to do any of this stuff. How about we kind of joint venture together? You know, I own the block of land, you know, free and clear, and I can fund the whole development, and then you just make it happen. And, and I went like, well, sure, we can do a deal like that. So,
obviously, he picked up most of the profit on that one, but you pick up 190 grand, which
yeah,
is good.
Yeah, still not bad, considering that, again, I was in a position where I, you know, couldn't necessarily do all deals on my own.
And what sort of time frame on that last deal in Blackburn, from start to finish?
So that deal will take from start to finish about 18 months. So that deal is just going to DA right now. But like I said, we preempted everything the council's going to ask us. So
this is another one that you're in the middle of at the moment.
Yes, I kind of went, well, there's 2 things I discovered by now, which is, well, you know, development is kind of my thing.
That's your cookie cutter.
I like it and I understand it and I, you know, I have what we need to execute it. But also it takes a long time, right? So like I said, 18 months. If on a good one, it might take 2 years if you have a delay that you didn't anticipate. So I now need to start thinking about what I'm going to do at the end of 2019, maybe the beginning of 2020. It's also a good time in the market to go and buy development sites. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, mm-hmm. There's not It's not as crazy as it used to be. So people are a lot more reasonable, particularly around terms, which obviously for me, being kind of not necessarily equity rich, it's important. So I decided to negotiate this one. This one is, I'm literally haven't signed it because I'm here today, but it'll be signed on Monday. It's a 4-townhouse development in Kilsyth, which is not too far from where some of the others are, but it's in a more affordable part of Melbourne, mm-hmm. which for me was also important because it reduces my execution risk.
Sure.
It's a lot easier for me to sell the end product when we get there.
Good. So watch this space on that one there.
Absolutely. So
what are some of the things that are more important than property for you?
Listen, there's all sorts of things that are more important with property. Property to me is a vehicle, and a fun vehicle at that too. But through this journey, the biggest change has been mindset. Yeah. So I compare, I don't think necessarily I know much more now than I did before, except what I've learned, same as other people are kind of around the room, right? But the mindset has changed massively. So I come from a place of scarcity. Now I have, I guess, more of an abundance mindset. Still plenty of work to do, and I think all of us probably need to continue working on it. Mm-hmm. I used to think things were a struggle, right? Things were hard to get, and whereas now I look at it as a challenge. I go, well, that's going to be a challenge. If I make it happen, how happy I'm going to be at the end of that. Mm-hmm. And also problems to opportunities. So my job as a builder and as a developer too is to solve problems. I used to be in a place, particularly in my old job, where our problems were bad. And if we have no problems, then it'll be good. When in reality, over time, I discovered that if there's no problems, then I don't have a job. And if I don't have a job, then I have no money, right? Whereas if there's more problems, then I can create more value. And if I can create more value, then it'll be easier for me to capture some of that value and put it in my pocket.
Very good. That's a beautifully simplistic way of looking at things. So what are some of the learnings then?
A couple of things. So the first one is I learn every day, right? So and every day I learn something new. I remember coming to my second boot camp and I went, I'm not exactly sure. It's the same thing all over again. And I swear at the end of that you will have asked me and I thought it wasn't a different event altogether. And it's the same, largely the same event, obviously some updated stuff, but even the same sessions that were identical, I was hearing something completely different.
Yes.
Because, before I was here and I needed to learn the first bit. But once you know the first bit, I started to pick up stuff that before were just,
was lost.
They were just lost.
That's why Neil's been to 43 or whatever it is.
Yeah. I was about to say, maybe I need to do more of that. So the other thing that helped me along the way is to pick a focus strategy. So like I said, I started trying to do everything. And I very, very quickly realized that if I tried to do everything, I was going to do nothing.
Yeah.
Or I was going to continue to be my first deal all the time, my first renovation, and then my first, build, and then my first subdivision.
Yeah.
Whereas the path that I've taken, even though I haven't done, that many deals, I feel like, I've done 3 of these already. So, I can take the learning from one deal into the other one very, very quickly. So
you started from an equity position of minus 70.
Yeah.
Before I Love Real Estate with no cash flow.
In fact, negative cash flow because I was paying too much tax. So obviously that had to be solved the wrong way.
So you had negative cash flow, obviously, to start with, to $13,500 positive, which is good. And from minus 20 equity to $350,000 equity.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
You have active deals in play. Over the next couple of years, it'll settle of around about $7 million.
Yeah, something like that. So it'll be 350 is what I have now. Like what I have, if someone liquidates me tomorrow,
it'll be 350.
That's what it will be.
Yeah. And how long are we talking now?
2 years since my first boot camp. And the reality, other than the PPR deal, which was much earlier on, it's probably 18 months since I started becoming really active.
So can I ask you how much you were earning in your corporate job?
Yeah, about $170,000.
Okay, on $170,000, you couldn't afford to pay off $70,000 credit card debt.
That's correct.
Yeah. Yet in 2 years, you've not only paid off the credit card debt, but you've made $350,000.
That's correct.
And an ongoing cash flow of 13.
That's correct. And
that's got to say something for property, hey.
And something that is more important, and it kind of gets lost a little bit on the slides and the story and the conversation, which is I'm not in that corporate job anymore. I've retired from corporate life a while ago. And now dedicated 100% to property. Now, it's not passive income, so I cannot go and retire to an island and never do anything else again.
Not yet.
Which, to be honest, I don't think I'll ever do either, because I'm not that kind of person. Maybe when I'm older, I'll slow down. But I'm a fairly active person. I want to be kind of in control and, you know, create kind of creating value. So I've been able to, by now I'm probably doubling what I used to make over there, which is why I've been able to do kind of this change.
Fantastic.
And then it's just about kind of capitalizing on that to kind of create a platform for the future. So,
because out of that, you've obviously had to live as well, you know?
So, absolutely.
So you've lived and created that much equity and other things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic. So what advice would you give to people?
So a couple of things. So the first one is, you know, your life can change. Anyone's life can change. You just need to take action, right? And it's very, very kind of scary when you're sitting at kind of at the beginning of it and you say, well, I could do this, I could do that, I could do that. You know, the I could do don't work, right? You need to kind of pick something and do it. And for each of us, it's a different thing. It's not obviously all the same. But you also, you don't necessarily need to have all the path laid out. Part of my challenge to start was that I couldn't see, you know, one of these developments or one of these projects from the very, very beginning to the very, very end with every single step controlled. And that gave, you know, gave me this insecurity, and it just, I got to the point where I learned to accept that, you know, in property, things happen.
They do.
So if I have, you know, enough kind of contingencies and options and different paths to go to the end of a deal, and I have clarity over the first few steps, well, let's do the first few steps. I don't need to figure out what's going to happen a year from now in detail, provided I have enough options and enough of a leeway. And the other one is taking advantage of the people in the room. Like, I wouldn't be sitting here, or I never thought I was going to be sitting here to start this, but I definitely wouldn't be standing here if it wasn't for the people in the room. The ones that actively work with me, the ones that, you know, my JV partners and my business partners and everyone else, but also the people that, you know, maybe told me a little bit of their story and I picked something up. Well, that's a good idea. I'm going to go and do some of that. Yeah. Or that's similar to this other problem I have in this other thing over here. Or simply people who gave me encouragement and said, oh, man, that's good. You know, keep going. You know, just a, you know. Just sometimes you're someone to listen, right? I talk too much, as you can tell. so it's I think outside of my head, and sometimes I just need a bit, you know, a body in front of me that can help me through that thinking. So, and no one like the people around the room. We all understand what we're going through. We all understand the strategies and the processes and everything else. It's a lot easier if you leverage what we have here. I think that's actually worth more than. More than the knowledge, and more than the parties, and more than everything else. So, yeah.
Very good. Well, you're a great inspiration to everybody. Let's give Henry a big round of applause. Oh,
thank you. Thank you very much.
So what did you think of Henry's story? Isn't he gorgeous? He's so much fun. And, as you know, you can do the same. If your story is similar to Henry's, or you've got elements of your story that you really, you know, hit a chord with Henry's story, then it's time to take some action. It's time to get out there and really start to take control of your life, take control of your debts, take control of your income so that you can choose what you do with your life. And to do that, you know, all you've got to do is come to I Love Real Estate. It's www.iloverealestate.tv on my website, and have a listen to some of the free resources that I have there. I do a series of one-day events right around the country as well, so book yourself in for one of those, and I'll give you the opportunity to be able to join the I Love Real Estate community, because it's not just about doing you know, this kind of deal or that kind of deal. I Love Real Estate is more about putting into place a strategic plan that is right for you, which is going to be different to what it is to the next person or the next person. So I'd love to see you around the traps. Come see me, jump onto my website, and come and say good day. Bye now.